All right, everybody, it is time for another episode of the Crypto 101 podcast. But before we dive in to our awesome, awesome guest and conversation today, I want to remind you guys of two things. And the first one is that if you go to crypto101insider.com, you can join our private community. Here's where we have our model portfolio and all of our top picks. We also have Crypto 101 University, where we have hours and hours and hours of written and video content that explains blockchain and explains cryptocurrency in a very bite-sized and easy to understand way. And we have a weekly newsletter that goes out and quarterly state of crypto addresses that go out. There is just a ton of value packed into this every which way. So I want you guys first to go to crypto101insider.com today, if you haven't already. I also want to remind you guys that Pizza Mind and I recently just finished a book. It took 11 months of our lives to write, and we're calling it Crypto Revolution, Your Guide to the Future of Money. We walk you through this fascinating world of cryptocurrencies and blockchain, and it's part history book, it's part instructional guide, and it's going to really show you guys why cryptocurrencies are globally disruptive and how they're going to actually change in real life and in real terms the way that we buy and sell and even live. We include a bunch of how-tos on getting started with your first exchanges. We give you tips on how to safely buy and sell and store cryptocurrencies, as well as how do we evaluate potentially good cryptocurrencies. And the best part of the book is that we're giving it away for free. All you have to do is pay for shipping and handling. So go to cryptorevolution.com and pick up your copy today. All right, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Crypto 101 podcast. I'm your host, Bryce, joined by my notorious compadre, Mr. Pizza Mind. Aaron, how you doing, buddy?
If I'm being honest, which I always am, I'm a little overwhelmed, depressed, terrified.
Jeez.
You know, just everything going on in the world right now. There's so much red tape between us and a free life, and it just seems to be growing more and more and more. And I'm just wondering, isn't there an escape from the corporate governance, you know, bureaucracy that is literally keeping everyone from getting what they need, whether it's stimulus money or, you know, just the licensing they need to add on a room to their house? It seems like you need a license to do everything but take a crap these days. So I'm hoping that there has to be some kind of tools or some kind of solution that is being built out there so we can just get away from all this stuff so we don't have to be subjected to this anymore.
Yeah, you know, I am a big fan of kind of re-architecting the governance that we are under right now. And that goes from, you know, beyond just like, you know, governmental sort of level, but also just, you know, at the LLC level, right? At the corporation level, you know, you could decentralize these sorts of systems and there could probably be some efficiencies and some benefits that come from decentralizing governance of corporations. And we're going to actually kind of dive into all that. And if you're listening to this and you're like, how does that have anything to do with cryptocurrency? Well, we brought on Luis Cuende from Aragon to talk about governance and crypto and why this is the future of everything. All right, Luis, welcome to Crypto 101.
Yeah, very excited to be here.
Yeah, man. So real quick, catch us up. Aragon, you know, for me, you know, I've been in the space for a long time and it's kind of a household name. I know that you guys are big in the DAO space, decentralized autonomous organizations. But for anybody who's never met you and who's never met Aragon before, catch us up. What are you guys building? And Luis, who are you?
Yeah, so we're building tools for people to organize in new ways that we call DAOs, in this kind of like very fluid, open organizations, which anyone can join. And I think they are like a response to kind of like traditional organizations in a very hierarchical, centralized way, which has proven to have many benefits, but also many huge failures that we've been seeing over the course of the last decades. And now with everything that is going on with the world, with remote work, with online communities. We're seeing these people that are just organizing on the internet without having a bank account, without having a legal entity, without being subject to one jurisdiction, but this global, borderless. And we're building software that empowers those kind of communities. And from my perspective personally, I started working on open source free software when I was 12. And it was very empowering to me because it was kind of like a very similar concept. You can create software and people all across the globe can use it and benefit from it and improve it. And all of that happens without any like hierarchical central institution like coordinating that process, right? And that was very exciting. And then I got into Bitcoin, which is obviously very exciting as well, but Bitcoin was a bit limited in the way that you could build things. And then Ethereum came after. And then it was kind of like a perfect storm. But one of the triggers for us to start Argon in 2016 was Donald Trump winning the US elections. And that made us see that the world needed better tools for organization. And so we started the project in 2016.
So I if I heard you correctly, so Donald Trump got elected and it prompted you guys to rethink governance. I kind of want to unpack that a little bit more,
yeah.
Not to go too deep into policy, whether you agree or whether you disagree, but what about the sort of executive system or the voting system did you disagree with and how are you kind of trying to change that?
Yeah, it's a good question. So I think it's not only the voting system that that we need to change. It's more of a, like, at the core, we just need to agree on better long-term outcomes and make them happen without having, like, a very short-term agenda. So, like, when we choose politicians, it's not the fact that we vote or that, like, you know, a simple majority or not simple majority. Like, I think that the core thing is not the voting mechanism so much as it is the fact that politicians get elected today for like 4 years and they literally don't care what happens after. It's like not their problem, right?
So the incentives are misaligned for politicians.
Exactly, completely misaligned incentives. And so if you think that, but like macro, you think about all the countries in the world having those misalignment of incentives, and also corporations run like that to some extent. Some public corporations are publicly traded. Then we end up with, completely screwing up our planet,
yeah.
For example.
I'm curious if you could talk a little bit more about the misaligned incentives in corporations and maybe how DAOs can realign them.
Yeah, so I mean, one that comes to mind is like the misaligned incentives between producers and consumers, right? Where like you have social networks like Facebook, which right now are just milking their users without much you know, consent or much value to privacy at all. And I think with crypto, you have this very cool thing in which you can actually, you can make it a DAO, you can make it governed by its users. So you can have a social media platform like Facebook, for example, that is not only, run by its users, but it's actually owned by them. And it's not only the content that is produced by them, but it's also like the actual governance, right? And so for me, that is very, very interesting. I think we're very early, but like 10 years from now, or even five, I have no doubt that we're going to see like all of these big corporations that are milking users on the internet replaced by DAOs and by decentralized organizations.
Interesting. As someone who runs crypto businesses, I have no idea what posters I'm supposed to hang in the break room, given I've got some people in California, some people in Texas, some people in Singapore, some people in Estonia. I have no idea where I actually operate or what rules I'm subjected to. I mean, my traffic might pass through a hub in Seattle, unbeknownst to me. And does that make me subjected to Washington's laws now all of a sudden, even if there's no physical presence there? Well, there's no physical presence in any crypto if you're, you know, being very literal.
The virtual
it exists everywhere and nowhere at the same time. So it's very confusing to have, you know, laws that are 80 years old that couldn't even conceive of what we're doing at the time they were written, trying to govern our businesses now. So a DAO is essentially like a legal entity, but it's not quite. So what are the advantages and disadvantages of trying to run a business like a DAO today?
Yeah, I'm going to start with the bad stuff. I think in a lot of cases, actually having a hierarchical structure really helps go lean and go fast. So like you can think about startups and like small companies that have gone from being very small, like Tesla or SpaceX, to like being giant unicorns, thanks to like the bright mind of just a person who made it happen. I think in DAOs, you don't get that. Another thing you don't get by default is like legal comfort over what's going on, because when with a legal entity, you have like a set of guidelines, a set of laws, and you know that like, you know, you are protected and covered by like a particular jurisdiction. In DAOs yet, we still don't have that. Like we know that for sure we're in the internet jurisdiction, but if shit hits the fan, you know, will a person be liable for their actions in the jurisdiction they are using the DAO from, or the DAO maybe has like members from a jurisdiction, like let's say more than 50% of members from one jurisdiction, and then it automatically gets pulled to that jurisdiction. And that is true to tell, because we just haven't seen cases in court, right? That covers DAOs. The Woolly stuff. And the Woolly stuff, it's a very powerful way to coordinate millions of people all around the world, in a way that companies would take probably decades to build, because like hiring is very slow, adding new people is very slow. With DAOs, like the onboarding process is very easy. You join a Discord channel, you see some work, some issues on GitHub or whatever, and you start collaborating like right away. So I think that is very cool. The other thing that we're seeing now in terms of like the culture-driven DAOs is that we're having a bunch of DAOs that are launching like their own NFTs or their own art or whatever, and they are getting viral. And like suddenly you have like thousands of people coming in and actually helping. And so that is very cool, because previously you can have thousands of customers coming in or users, but you couldn't have thousands of actual contributors coming in. And so you scale like so fast. So those are pretty cool things that DAOs offer.
Luis, I'm kind of curious about your thoughts on the recent legislature in Wyoming that allows for a DAO to register actually as an LLC in the state. And it kind of seems oxymoronic because, you know, a DAO registering as a LLC, but does it push us a step forward? Is it a step backwards? Do you have any thoughts on that legislation? I think it was for maybe a couple months ago that it was pushed out.
Yeah, and I think it's cool that nation states are trying to catch up. So I think that part is cool. I'm like a little bit unsure about how that's going to play out, because in that case, for example, you are taking a DAO, and a DAO can be like, you know, this like very custom piece of a smart contract that can have like a bunch of different like economic flows. And you are oversimplifying that to an LLC, which has a very simple economic flow that's proven and works, but like it is very rigid and not flexible at all. So like before, like, I don't know how this is going to play out. Like, you know, if it goes to court, if there are cases maybe where like these models, DAO models, have been shoehorned and oversimplified, and what will happen with them? Like, I'm not entirely sure what's going on and what will happen with that. The good thing though is that it offers some limited liability protection for people that participate, and that is great, because obviously no one is gonna participate in ventures that don't offer some kind of protection, right? If you can go to jail for selling some NFTs in a DAO, it's probably not a good thing.
Recently, one of the oldest crypto exchanges, Shapeshift, announced they were dissolving their corporation of like 8 years and becoming a full-fledged DAO. And they were doing this as their solution to oppressive KYC and licensing regulations, where they would have to get licenses in all 50 states in the US in order to operate, and all kinds of other stuff that really made compliance unaffordable for them. What was your reaction when you learned about this bold move?
It makes a lot of sense. And I think like bureaucracy is getting to a level in which it's like impossible to operate. Like it's not even some laws that protect the customers, which like to some extent I might agree with. It's like it's literally impossible to know everything that's going on, all the regulation all around the world. Like even if you want to do things right and in a legal way, it is just so hard. And so like you think about banks today, for example, like I think banks spend like more money on compliance than they spend on like great customer support. And then what happens? Well, customers get, you know, shitty deals and they don't really get the support they expect. And so, that is permeating every layer in society. And we are just kind of like starting to work for bureaucracy's sake instead of like for, you know, creating value. And that is a big problem.
I think that's all pretty fascinating. And, you know, one of the other things that I'd like to kind of get your viewpoint on was kind of like a viewpoint of the world. What does that look like in 10 years from your vantage point of kind of a world running on DAOs instead of corporations? What materially changes in our lives?
One thing that materially changes is I think we're finally going to break the notion that we work for one employer or one company or corporation. And I think before that notion worked very well in like very dark times where like people will work for a company for like 40, 50 years, basically their entire career. And that company would really care about that employee and get a lot of benefits and the stability that was needed in like, you know, times of war, hunger. Of course, depends on the country, right? Like some countries were not that way 40 years ago, but some others were. But now we're coming to a way in which, and you can think about programmers, for example, like programmers are very well treated all across the board. And so now they can afford to, you know, change job every once in a while and get something better. And I think in the future, what we're going to see is that's going to go even faster where each month you can be like, all right, I have this skill set, where can I apply it? You know, in the best way. And maybe even each day you can like work for like five different DAOs in which your skill set must be like, you know, the most value. So yeah, I think we're going to say that. I mean, I could talk about like remote work, but that has already happened. Like that is a fact here to stay, like period. So I think we're definitely going to see like people just working for more projects at the same time.
Today, many small business owners are busier than ever. I mean, time spent searching for and interviewing candidates can take time away from managing and growing a business. And that's why LinkedIn Jobs has made it easier to get the candidates worth interviewing faster. And it's free. In fact, I mean, here at Crypto 101, we used LinkedIn to hire our newest employee, Ryan. And funny enough, he actually in turn worked with the folks at LinkedIn to partner with us here on the podcast as a sponsor. So how about that? You can create a job post in minutes on LinkedIn Jobs to reach your network and beyond to the world's largest professional network of over 770 million people. You can focus on candidates with the skills and experience you need, and you can use screening questions to get your role in front of only the most qualified people, and then just use the simple tools on LinkedIn Jobs to quickly filter and prioritize who you would like to interview and hire. So LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the candidates worth interviewing faster. Did you know that every week, actually, nearly 40 million job seekers visit LinkedIn? So post your job for free at linkedin.com/crypto. That's linkedin.com/crypto to post your job for free. Terms and conditions do apply. It's an interesting phenomenon, kind of like what you mentioned about people not just working for one corporation, but maybe in the future working for many corporations at the same time. And it might not even be looking like work. It might just look like normal online activity that you're being able to monetize. Yeah. And, you know, I even think of the play to earn model here as well.
Yeah, that's super interesting. That is the other thing, like the blurred line between like game and work. I think generally speaking, that's going to be great because most people in the world actually, I think it was 70% or something like that, state that they don't like their job. And that is quite crazy that like most humans on earth don't like their job because then obviously they're going to be less productive, right? And less happy. So if we can fix that and people feel more like playing while working, that's great. I think though, as with each technology, like maybe 10 years down the line, we're start seeing weird stuff going on in like people's brains, confusing work and game and never disconnecting, you know, 24/7. And that might end up being a bad thing down the road. But, you know, it's like in every technology will bring good stuff and then we'll see the caveats and fix them.
For someone who's listening that's not really tech savvy, would it be accurate to describe a DAO as sort of like a digital version of a private member association? Or what's the difference?
So there are multiple kinds of DAOs and like we are so like nascent that I think right now it's still being defined, to be honest. But like there are some DAOs that are more like membership clubs, like similar to what you've defined, kind of like a private association. But I think that's what we're seeing today because those are very early versions of DAOs. Like I think more and more as we move forward and the technology advances and it provides easier user experience, easier onboarding, what we're going to see is they're going to look like very open organizations where you can just come in and you can see the work that's available and you can contribute and you can earn almost in real time. And we're going to end up with like organizations and DAOs that are like probably millions of people that are working towards a common mission in a very fluid way without an incorporated structure, without any hierarchy.
So, oh, Pete, did you have a follow-up?
Yeah. I was going to just paint a picture of a society where everything is very task-driven as opposed to job or career-driven, where you could walk in any building on a given day, look at a board and see what needs to be done, pitch in, whether it's just mopping the floors or programming some kind of plugin for interoperability or whatever it is for your skill set. And then you can just go around to the next thing. And instead of earning a salary by the hour, you might get a grant per the job, regardless of how much time it takes. I think that's going to be a huge evolution that I guess you could say started with Uber from a task economy. But I think a DAO will enable that type of structure to expand to literally everything.
Yeah, definitely. And then, of course, you can add, like, you can build upon it. So, for example, for some people, maybe like a bit threatening to imagine that they will not have like a stable salary. But you can build marketplaces on top, right? Where like you have like an insurance marketplace or like kind of like a UBI, universal basic income circle, where like, you know, if in 1 month you fail to perform because, you know, you had some accident and you're in the hospital or whatever, like the community covers that back. So I think that would make it less scary for people to move to this model.
Interesting. I never really thought about that. Like, you know, community insurance on like salaries or whatever. Community, like, you know, I'm seeing all these NFTs pop up and like, you know, they're all, you know, the Bored Ape Yacht Club or the CryptoPunks, and they're all identifying themselves by this little NFT. But at the end of the day, it's just about community. And yeah, I think that the NFT craze is pretty interesting. Do you have a hot take on NFTs right now? Do you think that we're in like a mania? Do you think that there is a long tail, like these will are here to stay? Or what do you kind of think about NFTs in their current form?
It's almost like every trend in crypto, gets like a complete mania at some point, but then also stays, right? Like, I think what's happening now, it's very interesting because it's attracting a lot of money and attention towards NFTs. And now, of course, I feel similar to like how ICOs felt in 17 and 18, like everyone is doing NFT. And we might at some point like reach big bubble. And I think it's relatively close. But then after that, like there's already going to be a significant amount of capital and talent that like went in and kind of like mainstream recognition. So I think like, you know, art, like crypto art, NFTs are here to stay, and they're going to be like a significant part of like the art. And collectors kind of like playground during the next decade.
So if I want to create my own DAO, instead of registering a fund in the Cayman Islands or, you know, getting my own hockey rink over here in California or whatever, how would I use Aragon to help me do that?
Yeah, it's pretty straightforward. You just go to the website, to aragon.org. And then you can just go through an app to change the parameters, name the DAO, give tokens to people so that they can, you know, access the DAO. And then you basically get like an internet piggy bank of sorts in which you can deposit any tokens, and any crypto. And then you can vote on decisions with the members of your DAO. Then of course you can install different apps on the platform. It's kind of like WordPress and plugins. You can like, you know, customize and install different things. And you can go very, very complex, but the very basic version just gives you that, like, you know, financial management and some voting to manage those finances.
Wow. So what's the learning curve? Like, do I need to study documentation for a few days before I do this? Or can I just jump right into it and be done in a few minutes?
If you're familiar with like, you know, Ethereum addresses and like MetaMask and stuff like that, you can like jump in very quickly.
Wow, that's awesome. I'm definitely going to have to check this out.
Yeah. So Luis, tell us before we let you go, I would love to know a little bit more specifically about Aragon. And like if somebody is in the crypto space right now and wants to partner with Aragon, what would that partnership look like? And how does Aragon kind of function?
Sure. Yeah. So, I mean, what we're doing now is we're releasing the version 2 of our governance platform, basically focusing on like minimizing gas fees. Because Ethereum gas fees right now are, of course, quite crazy. And so what we're doing is we're trying to onboard different launch partners and trying just to, you know, get them set up. So, we're looking forward to helping more communities DAOify.
Yeah. And so by minimizing gas, so the main initiative right now with governance is to minimize gas fees. And even with EIP-1559, that didn't really do anything in terms of lowering gas fees. So what does that kind of look like for you guys? How are you guys trying to accomplish this?
Yeah, we're working on basically like optimizing voting technology so that it happens on like off chain basically, and then you can settle the result on chain so that you get kind of like best of both worlds, like very very cheap transactions or even free transactions, while having the security that your transaction will actually settle on Ethereum, like the financial transaction resulting from the vote. And the other thing we're trying to work on is making it anonymous. Because it has been a big thing for past years where people are obviously worried about, vote buying, and they're worried about anonymity of the votes. We're trying to make votes anonymous as well using CK Snarks, which, you know, seems like a black box to everyone that doesn't know about them, myself included, but it promises to basically make all the transactions anonymous.
Mm. And So, the ZK snarks and all the off-chain technologies, where the anonymity comes from is what you're saying?
Exactly.
Yeah. Interesting. Could you tell us a little bit about any of the kind of like the recent companies that you've worked with that you think are really standout? Any other companies in crypto that you're really bullish on?
Like in terms of like, you know, Aragon DAOs or just like general?
Yeah, Aragon DAOs.
Yeah, I mean, so there's been a few ones that are in Aragon for some time already, like kind of like OGs, or I guess not OGs because like OG is more like 17, 18, but like companies have been using it for the last couple of years, which is a lot in the DAO space.
Some success stories.
So there is, yeah, exactly. So there is this Oracle company, company project called API3, which is basically building like a chain link alternative of sorts. And they've been using Aragon to go over in their Oracle system, and it's been working flawlessly for the past couple of years. There's PyDAO. So PyDAO is like this very interesting DAO where they are building asset management pies. So like they are building asset management portfolios, and you can like buy into different sort of like portfolios. So you don't have to like, you know, buy every single crypto out there. You can just buy like a DeFi Pi, for example, or like a, you know, BTC Pi, and like they hedge into different like assets within that universe. So that's very cool. In the NFT space, there was this thing called Aave Gochi. They launched, I'm not sure of the affiliation with Aave, but they might be affiliated, but they launched this NFT collection. And they use bonding curves to like dynamically price the NFTs, which is very interesting. And there is, of course, one of the biggest DAOs we've worked with, which is Curve Finance, which is the leading stablecoin decentralized exchange. And they are still using Aragon and securing a lot of money in the Aragon DAO.
Wow. And then I also see on your guys' site, you guys work with Decentraland. How does that work?
Yeah, so it was quite interesting. They set up a DAO to manage their treasury, and also to basically manage the emission of their token. Mm-hmm. So basically, you could say that, you know, the whole like virtual decentralized metaverse was governed by an Aragon DAO, which was pretty cool.
Love it.
That is awesome. We have just a couple of questions left before we let you go, Luis. Who's one person you really admire in the crypto space that inspires you to do what you do?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think like what Vitalik did, I think a few months ago, donating $1 billion worth of like Shiba Inu token or whatever it was, the name of that, that dog currency to a COVID relief fund in India. I think it's, you know, it's not to be understated. I think Vitalik is really like a new kind of, I don't know if he's a billionaire still, but he's definitely a new kind of like powerful person to watch out in the space. He does stuff that like other people with that amount of assets will probably not do.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. In fact, I would think, you know, we've asked this question to every single person that's come on the podcast. And I think Vitalik has gotten the number one most votes for most influential from all of our members. Yeah.
Can I actually seal someone else as well? I just came to mind.
Of course.
Now that NFTs are very, very hot. There's this guy, OG. Many people don't remember him because crypto forgets very quickly, but there's this guy, Argentinian Manuel Arauz, who he pioneered many of the things that we have now. Like, he pioneered, I think, one of the most basic forms of NFTs in 2014. He pioneered social tokens. He created his own cryptocurrency also in 2014, way before social tokens were cool. And he also pioneered DAOs to some extent in 2015. And he's launching this very cool NFT experiment to like rewild the world. So what he wants to do is he wants to basically make NFTs out of pieces of land that are going to be kept out of any like human activity, and they're going to be left for just basically like forest and wild nature, which is very cool in order to like rewild the world and kind of like reconquer, or like rather be reconquered nature. So that is very cool. The project is called Rewilder, and it's probably one of my favorite uses of NFTs. I like it way more than all the trendy stuff that is going on. It has a social impact.
Wow, Rewilder, and the gentleman's name is Manuel Arauz.
Manuel Arauz, yeah,
Arauz. Wow, wonderful. Yeah, I'm gonna look him up. I've never heard of him before, so I really appreciate that. And the last question that we want to ask is, if this is the very first podcast that somebody who's getting into the crypto space has ever heard, you know, what's one word of advice? What's one word of wisdom that a crypto OG like yourself would give to some new folks getting into the space?
I think everyone looks extremely smart in bull runs, especially in crypto Twitter. So like, you know, when you see
everyone
like
looks smart in tweets, bull runs,
and especially when you see people saying this is not gonna end, this is gonna last forever, this time is different, be careful.
I like that. Yeah, that's very true. I think in fact, you know, there's a famous quote, you know, everyone's a genius in a bull market. And I think it's true, because people drink their own Kool-Aid. People say, oh, you know, we've loved Bitcoin for so long, and finally the world's catching up, you know, price is catching up, everybody's starting to believe, and then you start to believe, and then it's just this whole mental cycle, and then, you know, price crashes and everybody freaks out and all that kind of stuff, and then people sell at a loss, and then the cycle happens again, and then somebody buys the fear, and then boom, it marks up, and then there's greed. And so I think being self-aware, you know, of that fear and greed cycle in the crypto market, super important. Luis, thank you so much for coming on, talking to us about governance, DAOs, and Aragon. Awesome. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.